Acts chapter 2. I want to deal with experiencing the massive anointing properly. I had to break that down for you. Experiencing the massive anointing properly. Now, prior to reading in Acts 2, I was trained by a prophet who knew how to operate in a massive anointing by the name of Kennedy Hagin. He was trained by another prophet and apostle called Smith Wigglesworth that knew how to flow in the anointing. Now, I'm going to say something with all respect. It's very rare. Yes, sir. And here's why. Emotion and excitement sometimes try to duplicate the anointing. And people go off in emotion, they feel good, and they think they're operating in anointing, but it's actually an emotion or an excitement. Now, when you really want to think about experiencing a massive anointing, you have to think about the Holy Spirit emerging you in the spirit world. We call the word deep world, D-E-E-P, will explain it. Going deeper into a realm of the supernatural. Whoa. Yes, sir. Going deeper into the realm of the spirit, or deeper into the realm of the supernatural, or deeper into the realm of God, deeper into the realm of Jesus, deeper into the realm of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you talk about the anointing, you're talking about the supernatural world. You're talking about miracles, signs, wonders. Listen, nothing impossible. Okay, now, when the Lord gave me that about the massive anointing, I know he was talking about extravagant, just letting the anointing take over. The anointing actually deals with, I'll let you sit down in a minute, but I want you to get there. The anointing actually deals with authority. It gives you an authority that is not a normal or natural authority. It gives you the ability to override the norm. Yes, in other words, naturally it would stop here. But because I'm functioning in God's ability, that's another word now, is God's ability, is God's authority to overrule everything that is against you. See, and so when we talk about a massive anointing, I never heard those words before, but I've watched down through the years, the anointing is precious. It's, again, I say it's the ability and the authority of God given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, Jesus' ministry operated under a massive anointing. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, he wouldn't take out without it. Yes, we'll look at that in the next text. Here in Acts chapter 2, when they were singing this morning, beautiful song. Yes, sir. Now, I have to get you to understand, they don't know what I'm going to preach. But they have been correlating in the atmosphere and the climate with what I'm going to preach every time. That last song, or that such song before about the Holy Ghost, that covered what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. So listen very carefully to these words in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, well, let's go back to Acts 1:8. Go back to Acts 1:8. Go back to 1. Oh, my. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, meaning you don't have no power if the Holy Ghost is not upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into all Judah and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Another scripture came out that we need to read. We're going to read a little while tomorrow. Y'all going to stay a little while tomorrow. Is it Luke 24:49? Because it's prepping us for what the Holy Ghost is about to do here this morning. See, a lot of time, we try to work with scriptures, but we're not endued with power. See, here's a good way to say it. We try to operate in scriptures without the Spirit, and we don't get the results we need. And so in order to operate in the Spirit, you got to tarry. You just can't take off. You got to wait on the Holy Ghost. I said, you just can't take off. You see, because you're changing dimension.
Yes, sir.
Or you, like a car, you're shifting gear.
Yes, sir.
Or you see, and it's realms, dimensions, and dominion,
yes, sir,
that the spirit world bring that you can't get from nowhere else. So you have to sometimes pause,
yes,
and wait. And yield. Now look what it's written in verse 49 of the 24th chapter of Luke. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And he's talking about wait. See, wait. They didn't wait on the Lord to renew their strength. He says, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's twice. See, remember Acts 1:8?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go back to Acts 2, read this. Experiencing the massive anointing properly. A massive empowerment. A massive supernatural strength that every child of God has the right to.
Yes.
Beyond feeling.
Amen.
Beyond facts.
Yes,
sir. Beyond failure.
Yes.
The anointing can't fail.
Yes.
If you think you're failing, you're not in the anointing. Because the anointing actually is God.
That's right.
So whatever you're dealing with this morning, let me tell you something right now. Whatever you're dealing with, you got more power than it. Tarry and wait till you're anointed. Tarry and wait till you... See, the anointing is the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
With all of his abilities.
Yes, sir.
That's why Jesus said, I'm going back, but I'm going to leave you here by yourself now. I'm going to send you somebody. He's here.
Yes.
So why you try to deal with things with your feeling? From now on, you're going to wait and deal with it in the spirit. Well, at least nobody going to go to sleep on me right now. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with one accord in one place. All right, Lord. Lord, keep stopping me. I want you to underline the word fully come. I want you to use those words from now on. Fully come. In other words, don't move until you know your help has fully come. You see that? You got to wait on it. You see what I'm saying? You can't jump in the flesh. You can't jump in the mess. Wait, man. Wait. And you know when the anointing has come.
Yes.
You know when you're about to take over.
Yes.
I see some of y'all might not have never experienced it. But I know when I wait and tarry, I don't care what I'm going through. When that anointing fully come, I got it, baby. I got it. I know I got it. So I want you, I want you to think about knowing how to tarry until you be endued with power, until the anointing has fully come. Now remember, the anointing is the ability and the authority of God, I'm going to add to it now, to dominate any situation at any time. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. You with me?
Yes,
and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Glory to God. Glory, fill this place up, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Third verse said, there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice in Luke chapter 4 for a minute. Because I think we're in a, as I said, in a sort of a virgin territory when you're dealing with wearing a massive anointing. Massive mean it can handle everything. Yeah. And you got to wear it properly. Luke 4. Help me, Holy Ghost. Luke 4:14. How you going to return to your house today? I've been to church. No, you were getting that car with power, man. So God, oh, man. I felt that. and business not gonna be the same when you get back. When you come in the presence of God, when you go back, you're supposed to be different. So I'm telling you right now, look at me. Don't expect the norm. I'm expecting something to get off on you. Change that situation. Bring your joy back. Talk to me over there. He left in the power and he returned in the power. Look in 4:1. And Jesus being what? Full of who? Full of who? Full of the Holy Ghost. Returned from Jordan. And look what happened when you're full of the Holy Ghost. I said, look what happened when you're full of the Holy Ghost. I said, look what happened when you're full of the Holy Ghost. You led.
Yes.
By the Spirit into the wilderness. Go to verse 14. And Jesus returned. In the power of the Spirit into Galilee. He left out the Spirit. He left with the Spirit. He returned. And there went out a fame. He whooped Satan between it, but I ain't got time for that. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue with the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. That's in Isaiah 61.
Yes.
Look what it's written. Now look what's written. And receive it. The Spirit.
The Lord.
Come on, say it.
The Spirit
is upon me.
Upon me.
Some of y'all ain't not saying it.
Yes.
I'm trying to impart something to you this morning. At a massive dominion.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost is here to help me. But are you going to help yourself? The Spirit. I want you to say it with some gunk, though. I want you to say it. See the mystery of this whole thing. You listening? I'm going to let you sit down after a while. The mystery of this whole thing, this book cannot be history. You got to let the Holy Spirit make that book alive to you right now. And when you say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you got to take that right now. Just like it was on Jesus. So if the Spirit of the Lord is on me like it was on Jesus, I should get the same result that Jesus got out of his life, out of my life. My ministry should be as bold as Jesus. Because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, curving the sight to the blind. That's a lot of stuff. And set at liberty them in brew. One more scripture. 1 John 2:27. And I'm about to share something with you. You got the right standing up. I'm going to share something with you. We're talking about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. The Holy Spirit is within you, that he may lead you into green pastures and give you direction, but is up on you for deliverance for you and other people. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. I have the Spirit within me and I have the Spirit upon me. One for personal life and the other one for ministry. What did I tell you, Tony? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, this is a, thank you, Lord, very, very powerful. It's 27 verse, 1 John 2:27. Uh-huh. The only way it says there, but the anointing which you receive of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as that taught you, you should abide in him. The anointing. You have anointing in you that teaches. You may be seated. You have anointing in you that you notice I didn't sit down? You have the anointing. You have anointing that abides in you.
Hallelujah.
And so now you have some concept of this massive anointing. As I said about Brother Hagin, I would watch him over the years move in the Spirit, but I didn't see many more ministers go that deep. I didn't see them because they were not. I don't know if they couldn't grasp what he was doing, but actually he was just yielding to his inability and to God's ability. Yes, get the presence of God to come here today, yes, and minister to every one of you. Just listen, pay a close attention to the atmosphere and the climate, not naturally but spiritually. And I believe that he'll invade this place today, yes, in a few moments. It won't take long. All right? You operate in faith and you operate in anointing, but you come to a place in dealing with God, the glory come you through. He takes over. And see, one of the things about the anointing, men don't know how to get out the way. See, you operate in faith. You operate in the anointing, but the anointing is a prelude to the glory. Man, I better show you this. Turn to First Chronicle. I better show you this because it's so, you had to help me hold it over here. First Chronicles in your Bible. The 29th chapter. And the 11th verse. This is the type of atmosphere that a real anointing bring about. It brings God on the scene in his fullness. You imagine God in his fullness coming on the scene in your life or in your situation? All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. You imagine that you have the right to invite God fullness in your life at any given moment? The anointing represent whatever God is in the anointing. Because the anointing unfolds, I'm going to just unfold God, or unfolds the glory of God, or unfold the ability of God, or unfold the love of God. The anointing does. So here we have God being unfolded. When you're in the spirit assignment is to unfold God in your life. Shut you down, get you out of the way, so God can display his glory in your life and in your life situation. Just think about it. If you could be shut down long enough and able to yield to God, what a condition your life would be in. That's what training is all about. Let God do it. Stop trying to do it yourself. We try to do it in prayer without God. We try to use scripture sometimes without God. But the scripture is for us to yield to God. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. You mean to tell me this anointing produces this? Yeah, all of this. Watch. Watch. Oh, my goodness. First Chronicle, you there?
Yes, sir.
You found First Chronicle, right? Jane and Mitchell said that like you seen it. And you ain't, it's in the Old Testament. You ain't, don't say that like that. I got it. Now, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? I'm saying, the Holy Spirit is saying, that this massive anointing releases the massiveness of God. He's massive, you know. And this description we're about to read now is when you experience a massive anointing, how God unfold himself to you in his glory, in his power, in his majesty. I'm hearing the word, and this is going to bless you. I'm going to use broken English. We ain't got nothing to worry about. It doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter how things look. God want me to tell you this morning, if you walk in his anointing, things may look like they're not going right. Everything may look like it's going wrong. But if you walk in his anointing, everything gonna work out all right. You ain't got nothing to worry about. I don't care where your life at now. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care who against you. The Lord want me to tell you, child, you have nothing to worry about. All you got to do is let me come. Let me open myself up in your situation. Matter of fact, I'm about to do some things for you you've never seen before. You heard that? I'm about to change some things. in your life that been need to be changed. I'm about to change some things supernaturally for you. You go ahead on, receive it. Believe it and receive it. I turn the Holy Ghost loose in here this morning. Let the Holy Ghost flow in here this morning. And then correct everything that needs to be corrected. Direct everything that needs to be directed. And protect everything that needs to be protected. And provide everything that needs to be provided. Move, Holy Ghost. Somebody get an answer. Come on, son. Come on. Both of y'all come. Somebody get an answer right now. Somebody get an answer right now. Cut up. Cut up. I said, cut up! Cut up! The anointing is designed to open the full characteristics of God. Everybody can't see him. Everybody can't experience him. Whole lot of Christians not experiencing because they don't know about a massive anointing. See, the massive anointing released the characteristic of God. When the anointing on you, yeah. There it is right here, First Chronicle. It opened God up. Yeah. We about to open God. The Spirit, the only mean where God can become real to you is by the Holy Ghost. And so when you're dealing with something and the Holy Ghost can pull God up in his fullness, pull God up in his fullness in my life. No, somebody not hearing me here. I said anointing, pull God up in your life in his fullness in any given situation. Come on, talk to me up in here. It looked like a problem. But God said, I'm ready to manifest. So I got to let you get in a position you can't handle. You'll never know me until you get in a position you can't handle, and I'll handle it for you. In other words, Satan attacks make you stronger. Oh, he gonna attack. But Satan attracts God to take care of his child. Don't look at the attack. Look at the attract. Anybody getting help here this morning? I know everybody go through something, you know what I'm saying? But say he gonna keep trying to attack you. But as he attacks, the anointing attract. Oh, I love it. The anointing, every time you attack, the anointing attract. God. So the more you attack, the more you attract. Hallelujah. No problem in here that cannot be handled. Let's see what we're attracting now. We're in a massive anointing and we're attracting God. Verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. He's the greatest. Is your God the greatest? So what can come up to stop your God? If he is the greatest, say, my God is the greatest. You see it? So everything you're dealing with that is not giving God's glory is temporary. Our Lord is the greatness and the power. Listen to that. And the glory. And the victory. Oh, my goodness. And the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. Oh, Lord. And thou exalted as head above all. Somebody say hallelujah or something. He exalted. How high is he exalted? What you dealing with? What's your biggest problem this morning? Online, what's your biggest problem? What you dealing with? The Bible says he exalted above what? See, but you cannot live there if the Holy Spirit don't bring you there. That's why the anointing is so important, to be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. See? And then you don't have to go by your sense realm no more. Internet. YouTube.
Come on. That's right. That's right.
They don't run me no more. You're above them. Cha-ta-da-la-ba-ka-ta. See that? Woo! Gone. Cha-ta-ta-da. Gone. Gone. They all know when I start doing that. Did you get a ta-ta-ta-da? What's she doing? What is that? But you're taking your, you're putting your wings on. You're about to fly higher. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I dare you to stay on the same level after you leave here today. You ain't got no business being on the same level. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Yes. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. All I need is, give me a little time to pray in the Holy Ghost a few minutes. Yes. Verse 12 said, both riches and honor come of these. So I'm supposed to be rich. See, y'all say, talk low on that. And thy reign is over all. Whoa! And thy reign is over all. And thy reign is over all. What that mean? All my problem? All my situation? All my sickness? All my disease? He's powerful than all that. And in our hand is power and might. In our hands to make great and to give strength and all. You may be seated. Let me give you a few things. I want to reread this to you because we're talking about experiencing the massive anointing properly. And the massive anointing include all that God is. The Holy Ghost has come to reveal all that God is, all that Jesus is, all that the kingdom is. I got to show you another verse because turn to Romans chapter 9. Another verse, two verses that I need to show you that will open this up more. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, after reading a grandstand functioning of the Spirit in Romans 8, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, Romans 9:1. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Now, when I was reading that, and then I got something else to show you, but when I was reading that, I'm going to tell you two more parts. When he talks about here, his conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Right. Then in 1 Corinthians 13:14, I think it is. It talks about these three manifestations, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. And it talks about the last thing it says in that threefold is the communion of Holy Ghost. So your conscience bearing witness of the Holy Ghost, having the communion of the Holy Ghost. And then there was one more, but I want you to make notes of that. Your conscience, read that, meditate that verse. Oh, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I think in the 15th chapter of John, and the 14th chapter, you talk about the comfort that will come.
Yes, sir.
All of these, the comfort, the conscience, consciousness of the Holy Ghost, communion with the Holy Ghost, and then the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you talk about the comfort of the Holy, the comfort that shall come, is the Holy Spirit showing you who you are in God. Okay? There's a, no matter how uncomfortable things seem, there's a comfort zone called trust. See what I'm saying? Things didn't look like they changed, but you're still in a comfort zone because I know he's there. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in a situation you couldn't figure out how it's going to come out, but you know it's going to come out all right? Oh, talk to me up in here. See, that's the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus made this statement. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy, I'll give you rest. I mean, he didn't care nothing about the labor. He said, and then he said, I'll give you rest for your soul. That's powerful. Now, what I'm about to show you now, in Romans chapter 9, is I had dealing with the Holy Spirit with this message. Because he showed me something that if you don't know about the massive anointing, how many things you're going to miss out on. Now, Lord, help me. I don't want. Very few pulpits knows about the massive anointing. Very few. And the reason is you can't go there unless you know your inability. So if you're real smart, you're not going there. See, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2? Go there for I'm sure you did. See. If you demonstrate, and the Holy Spirit can't demonstrate. If you try to prove how great you are and not giving him the glory, he ain't coming. If you pointing to me, he ain't coming. You got to give him the glory. Then in 1 Corinthians 2, you talk about his preaching. Not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the, but in the power of God. See what I'm saying? And actually, organization and denominations sort of ruined that. Because men got too popular and too big. Are you following me? It was religion on one hand with tradition, a man too high. Now, in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to ask the glory of God to hit this place. Let you know I'm representing him in demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, when he says that, you look, notice that night voice. You got to get out of there. You got to get out of the night voice.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:9. You got to get out of there.
Yes,
with your church going self. You got to get out of there.
Amen.
You got to let the Holy Ghost take you to the tent voice.
Yes.
Then further up, he talks about not in the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God.
Yes,
see, that's in the spirit realm. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, there are 6 or 7 things I'm going to close with that are affected. And I want you to understand how to properly partake of this 6 or 7 things I'm about to show you. And the only way is by the Holy Ghost, all right? The only way you're going to partake is by the Holy Ghost. In Romans 9, I was reading verse 4. And Paul was talking about Israelites. They had, y'all got a privilege to have things that the average person don't have. But some of y'all are not going to get it because you don't understand.
Wow.
Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Underline that word, the adoption. You got to remember John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to him give them the power to become the sons of God. You got to realize your sonship. Your sonship is spiritual, but it can bring your soul and body in alignment. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a daughter. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the living God. Your sonship. That means I'm in a spiritual family. So I have spiritual rights that are not normal. I'm a son of the living God. Jesus, my brother. Jesus, God permitted me to come in the same lineup with Jesus. Jesus was a son, I'm a son. Adoption. Romans 8 talks about it, you know. Then the next word I want you to see, and the glory. You're supposed to travel with glory wrapped around you. You know, glory, what you say? What, Pastor, what does glory wrap around me? We just read it. In 1 Chronicles 29, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do, I need to stay wrapped in that. Then it goes on, the covenants. You see, you're not going to be able to walk in the covenant if you're not in the spirit. You're not going to be able to walk in the glory if you're not in the spirit. You're not going to be able to walk in your sonship. See, this is not a flesh. This is not, I'm a member of the church. This is not that. No, I paid my due. No, this is not that. This is a supernatural realm. Help me, Holy Ghost. This is a katana. This is a supernatural realm that you got the right to walk in. Power, glory, presence, anointing, understanding, wisdom, joy unspeakable, full of glory, righteousness, forgiveness, extension, miracles, signs, wonders. I walk by faith, not by sight. Hope make not ashamed, because the love of God been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. But I need all three.
Yeah.
To operate in the spirit, I need faith.
Yeah.
I need hope.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, people are training their faith at the expense of their hope. People try to train their faith, but they never train their hope. If you never train your hope, your faith ain't got nothing to work with. So faith, 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 faith. I never heard a hope conference. Let a man try to make a baby without a woman. Well, it hits you after a while. Let a man try to make a baby without a woman. That's trying to use your faith without hope. Hope is the female of your faith.
Yeah.
That's why the baby never arrived. You just write faith, 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 faith. But you better get you some hope so that faith can have some substance and some evidence that you have it before you see it. I promise it right now, you have been working on something with your faith, but you never stop to let the Holy Ghost produce hope in your life that your faith will have something to have intercourse with. Then the baby gonna come. That's why two men can't have no baby. They can talk about all that stuff that they you show me you make, y'all make a baby. That which is not of God is unproductive. So two men can't make no baby. Everything is of God produces. So now the Holy Ghost is about to take you to another dimension. Because now you're going to concentrate on your hope first. Then you're going to send your faith in there. You see me?
Yes, sir.
That which is seen is not hope.
That's right.
Hope deals with what you don't see. So you don't have to worry about when it's going to get here. It's already here. Just in another realm. All I got to do is wait for manifestation. See, the weariness, I'm about to close, the weariness and the worry come because you're just trying to operate in faith. Hope settle your faith down. Hope make your faith dance. Hope is your faith dancing part. See, because physically you don't see nothing. You done prayed about it, you done quote the scripture, but you don't see nothing physically. So therefore your faith can't function in that. But hope goes in the future and catch what you're believing for. And bring it to you. And hold you in place till it arrives. Anybody got help? It doesn't mean your faith not working, but you got to combine. There's the Holy Ghost. You got to combine your faith with hope. Hope is the future. Faith is the present. When faith and hope come together, everything become present. I have it now. Say it. I have my healing now. All the finances I need right now. All the love, joy. Oh, I got it now. Peace, I got it now. Somebody in here needed that. You didn't quote 95 scriptures. And still there's a little doubt dancing around. Hope will slap doubt out of your mind. Supernatural hope. Mean that my hope is in God, who can't fail. Somebody say, never too late. He's always. See, the reason God works like he worked, you don't know, but when you're dealing with something, he arranges some other things.
Yes.
That it all can come at one time. And when it come, it can't be disturbed. See, he's setting some other foundation up. Because the enemy gonna try something else. So God work on the whole deal. He's working on your behalf right now. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. So you see, let's close. You see, sit down, let's close. So you see, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm hearing the Lord say this to say to you, what barricade can hold you now? Whatever Satan had put in your pathway, it got to be moved right now. You go in there with a full anointing, full aware that I got power. Hold on. Then I hear the word. I hear the word. That's a $500 check. I hear the word. How can I say this, Lord? Say both of them right. Who or what can stop me now? Write it down. I put in your note and put a date by it. Put a date by it. Who or what can stop me now as I function in this massive anointing, knowing how to tap into my covenant, knowing how to tap into the glory of God, knowing how to serve him properly, knowing how to tap into the promises of God, knowing how to walk in my kingdom rights. Who can stop me now? Write these few notes. I've said them to you, but I want you to have them. I'm going to go over them again. What we're talking about is the prevailing power of knowing how to yield to the anointing fully, all right? The prevailing power of knowing how to yield to the anointing fully, all right? I'm going to say another statement now. This what we're talking about is staying smeared with the fresh presence of God. Staying smeared with the fresh presence of God. Almost like the old folks say, you smell yourself. You heard about that, right? Yeah, you think you're all that. Yeah, you have so much anointing, you smell yourself. Also, it means living in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Okay. We're talking about living under, we talked about last Sunday, living under a massive anointing, knowing the power of a sweeping anointing. Now I got 6 minutes, I want to read this to you. Now what we're teaching now, this is a matter of a life of success or failure. If you don't, you're Christian, if you don't know how to operate an anointing, you can be a failing Christian. Listen, the anointing grows as it is pursued properly for the right purpose. That is to fulfill God's given assignment.
Amen.
One of God, let me show you, let me give you a secret. One of God's assignment is that you live a life of abundance.
Yes.
More abundance.
Yeah.
I've watched over the years that men have failed to tap into a real anointing, not knowing that the anointing is not a feeling, but a supernatural force. It's a supernatural force. Say it's a supernatural force.
Supernatural.
That belong to me.
That belongs to me.
Supernatural means miracles, signs, and wonders. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Glory
to God.
The anointing within and the anointing upon. A divine energy. Supernatural empowerment, a heavenly endorsement. How about that?
Yes.
My words are endorsed by heaven.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Endued with power.
Yes, sir.
Watch it. I like this one too. Sinking in his presence.
Yes.
Other words, you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in the spirit, oh my, I won't run now. When you get in the spirit, you disappear. Devil said, where she went? Because she, I see, Lord. The anointing is you hiding in God. Your enemy can't find you. Matter of fact, your enemy don't want to find you because you got so much power. Anybody see me? Come on, sir. Anybody see me?
Yes, sir.
See what I'm saying? I receive, sir. The anointing is hiding in God. Trimmed up. I got to close. I got 3 minutes. By charge, because I know you can't handle no more so much. I got 3 years, but I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Oxygen, I've been preached 3 years. Explosive miracles expressing the nature of God in demonstration. Expect next week explosive miracles. I speak explosive miracles on everybody under the sound of my voice. Things will start happening supernaturally in your life. Because you're a child of God. The anointing is not a feeling. It's a force. Got it? Listen very carefully. The living of life is not possible without it. Now, I want you to hear this. I want all the young people to hear this too. My teenagers. And my life is a divine assignment.
Amen.
It requires a divine enablement for performance. And you Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8. Listen, young people, listen, all online. The anointing is the fuel, F-U-E-L, for my life to take off. It's fuel beyond jet fuel. You know, we own one of the biggest jets out there, private jets out there. Falcon 900, isn't it? You put down Zechariah 4:6. It's the few. All right, I better just jump off. Listen, somebody, this is for somebody. Obstacles are turning to miracles. And barriers to breakthroughs. For a man filled with and wearing the anointing. Now just look at this one scripture before I close. First Samuel 10:6. First Samuel 10:10. Put it on the board. You got it? First Samuel 10:6. Sometimes I'll be writing so fast. Yeah, that is. This is what you want. After preaching this, I want this to happen to you. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned.
Amen.
Another one. Anybody change up in here now?
Yeah.